Now, for the next 25 minutes or so, if you will listen to me and heed what I preach, I'll guarantee you your life will be enriched and helped, and in some cases, transformed. If you only listen to me and do not give heed, you will have a truth that someday you can take from your quiver and use it. I have a philosophy that I believe is scriptural, and I believe it's therefore true and real, that the positives and negatives of every life equal out in the end. Are you listening to me now? I believe that the positives and the negatives of every life equal out in the end. I don't think, it's going to shock you, I don't think anybody in this room has it any worse than anybody else in this room. I'm talking about over the whole life. It may be at this particular moment someone may be having it worse. But I believe that the time we meet Christ, I believe all of our positives and our negatives equal out. For I believe that every positive carries with it a negative, and every negative carries with it a positive. Had there not been a birth once of Kevin Connors, they would not have had to sit last Friday at the head of his casket. Those of you that have no children will never have to say goodbye to them, either at death, part of the service, at the marriage. You'll never have to sit up at night and feel 105 brow, temperature, fevered brow. You'll never have to sit beside the bed and wonder if the child's going to live or not. Nor will you ever have your heart broken if the child disobeys you. On the other hand, those who have no children will never know the joy of a first step, the first word, of course, which is always dada. But I'm saying that somebody said, aren't children a blessing? Yes, they are. And also a liability. If you don't believe it, pay for one of the weddings. But you say, well, how's aren't children a burden? Yes, but if you don't believe they're also a blessing, you just have some. I'm saying that all in equals out. Illustration. Here's someone who has more tears in life than someone else. But I guarantee you that the positive of that, the other side of that is they're closer to God than anybody else. Here's someone that has more burdens to bear than others. Well, the positive side of that is they're stronger than others because this burden, bearing a burden, makes you stronger. So I don't think any of us needs to feel sorry for himself. I think we ought to cancel our pity trip, control our pity pains, not have our pity parties. Because I think that none of us in life has it worse than any of us, and none of us has it better than any of us. For example, but I said, wouldn't it be nice to have the security of wealth? There's a liability there. You don't know who your friends are. I know. I don't have any money and still don't know who my friends are. But I've had wealthy men to tell me that they do not know who loves them and who's after their money. I tell them right quickly how I feel. I'm after their money. I don't want them to wonder. But I'm saying that I believe that every life has a half a dozen good and a half a dozen bad, and it doesn't. I think that every positive has a negative, every negative has a positive. There are some women here today who had to rear their children alone. That's a negative. But they've had to depend upon God more. That's a positive. There are some children here who've been reared alone by your mother. You didn't have a dad with you. That's a negative. But you learn responsibility more than you would have if you'd had a dad. That's a positive. So none of us needs to feel sorry for himself, because I think all of life's events, and positives and negatives, equal out eventually. Now follow me carefully. I'm going to steal those line upon line, precept upon precept sermon. If that be true, our happiness then depends on which we emphasize. The old story about is the glass of half empty or half full. Depends on which part of the glass you look at. Look at the top of the glass, you'll be discouraged. Look at the bottom of the glass, you'll be encouraged. Now, whatever you do, if you're having a hard time staying awake, slap yourself. If your wife's having a hard time staying awake, slap her. The wife next to in the seat in front of you, if that other fellow's wife's having a hard time staying awake, slap him, tell him, slap her. Because what I'm going to say in the next few minutes is worth hearing. Our happiness depends on which we emphasize. Now follow this very carefully. Our happiness, therefore, depends on how well we fend off the negative. Because in fending off the negative, there's nothing left but the positive. The Bible teaches us that Satan is shooting fiery darts all the time. Now, why are they fiery darts? Listen, I'll teach you something. In battle, in those days, there are two types of arrows, or darts. They would take an arrow and shoot an arrow. Some arrows just had a pointed end. But some arrows were set aflame before they left the bow. The reason was, not only could the arrow hurt as it pierced, but it could keep the hurt and eventually destroy. It could keep on hurting. After it had pierced, the hurt was not over, because the arrow was a fiery dart, a flame. And sometimes it would set afire the clothing, or sometimes it would, the head of the arrow would be out the time it got there, but it was so hot, it would cause burning. And so the pain would not be just the piercing, of the pain of piercing, or having been pierced, but the pain would be a lingering pain and eventually would destroy. But that's the kind of darts the devil shoots. The devil doesn't shoot darts that hurt for a while. The devil shoots darts that keep on hurting. And keep on hurting. And keep on burning. And keep on burning. And eventually, if you let it, it'll destroy you. Now what are these fiery darts the devil sends our way? There's the dart of doubt the devil sends. All of us have arrows that pierce us, that cause us to doubt. That's up to us to be sure those aren't fiery darts. We fend off the fiery darts with a shield. Because the fiery darts will cause the doubts to linger. Doubts about the Word of God. Doubts about the existence of God. Doubts about the goodness of God. Doubts about the wisdom of God. All of us, at a time or two, have been hit by an arrow that caused us to have the sharp, immediate pain of a doubt. What God is talking about here is we're to fend off the fiery dart, the dart of doubt that comes and pierces and continues to burn until finally we're destroyed because of our doubt. What other kind of doubt does the devil send our way? What other kind of fiery dart? The fiery dart of fears. Now all of us have temporary times when we fear. We may have fleeting through our mind what would happen if this happened. What would happen if I had a heart attack? How would my wife make it? What would happen to me if my husband had a heart attack? How would I make it? What would happen to me if I had a heart attack? Who would my wife marry? Such things as that. All of us have those darts of fears that come through. But the devil's darts are fiery darts. And God says that I want you to let those fiery darts get to you. Take the shield of faith. Take that shield of faith and hold it up there and watch a fire dart as it comes and hold up the shield. Let the shield catch the fire dart and then watch the fire dart as it comes over here and hold up the shield before the fire dart gets to you. He says, above all, hold up the shield of faith that you may be able to quench the fiery dart of the evil one or of the wicked one. God is saying here, everybody's going to have a dart of doubt, but don't let it be a fiery dart of constant doubt. God is saying everybody's going to have a dart of immediate fear or temporary fear, but don't let it be a fiery dart of constant fear, and don't let the doubt destroy you, and don't let the fear destroy you. The devil shoots other darts, fiery darts, the dart of discouragement. The devil comes and says, I want to shoot you with a dart of discouragement. Now, all of us have moments when we don't watch it, we lapse into temporary discouragement. Now, that's a dart. But the Bible says, take the shield of faith and quench the fiery dart, the one that has the burning on the end, the one that when it pierces, not only hurts when it hits the body, but it keeps on burning. It may hit the fleshy part of your leg, and it'll pain for a while. But he said, be careful about those fiery darts. Those darts that come, and when they pierce, they hurt, but they keep on hurting and burning and burning and burning and burning until finally they'll destroy you. And ladies and gentlemen, constant doubt will destroy you. And constant fear will destroy you. And constant discouragement will destroy you. But thanks be to God, He's given us a shield. He's given us a shield. Now what is this shield? God says you're supposed to have a shield to stop the fiery dart. To stop that dart that discourages you and keeps you discouraged. Sort of a time-release dart, if you please. Like a time-release capsule. And God says, here's a shield. And you're supposed to be watching for the dart to come. When the fiery dart comes, put the shield up. And be watching. Here's one over here. And here's one here. Now, what is that shield that quenches the fiery dart that the devil gives? The dart of doubt, the dart of fear, the dart of discouragement, and other fiery darts that linger with us. What is the shield? The Bible says the shield is faith. Shield is faith. Now then, okay, if the shield that quenches the fiery dart that the devil shoots our way is faith, we've got to find out what faith is. Now follow me carefully. This is a line upon line, precept upon precept. I said all of us have equal amount of positives and negatives. I said the key to happiness is accentuating the positive and eliminating the negative. I said the devil, however, is shooting fiery darts, the kind that not only hurt, but when they enter, they continue to burn until they destroy us. And I said those fiery darts are sometimes fear, sometimes doubt, sometimes discouragement, and other things. But the Lord never gives us, listen, Satan has no weapon, what God has the defense for it. I don't care what it is. Now, you may not use the defense, and the devil may lick you, but you have the wherewithal to lick the devil in any given battle. There's no temptation you have that you could not have victory. Let me say this. I do not believe it's possible to live above sin. But I do believe that we have everything at our disposal that we could live above sin if we would live above sin. I think in any given battle, we can have the victory. That means that sometimes we won't win the battle because there is a battle going on. And thank God we'll win the war because greater is He than is us than he who's in the world. But nevertheless, we will have a battle. But I'm saying that the Lord has given you a shield to stop. Listen, let me just put it this way. You may lose your temper sometime, but the Lord has given you a shield to keep you from keeping that temper hot. You may get mad sometime, immediately, that's a dart, but God has given you a shield, you don't have to stay mad. Now that's the difference in the dart and the fiery dart. The dart comes, hits like that, the fiery dart comes and stays. The fiery dart is revenge in the heart. The fiery dart is hatred that burns in the heart. The fiery dart is doubt that never leaves. The fiery dart is discouragement that's always there. The fiery dart is a fear that always hounds you. God has said, I'll give you a shield that'll keep you from the fiery dart. Now, what is the shield? Faith. Now, what is faith? Follow me carefully. Faith, as I've said many times, number one, it's believing. Number two, it's doubting. Lord, I believe, help thy mine unbelief, said the man concerning his son who was possessed of a devil. Faith is believing. Faith is doubting. But faith is stepping out and acting on the belief. Faith is this. Faith is proving to you by my action what is in here. Now, here is the faith. But you cannot have faith without your proving that faith. The Bible said, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith Moses crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. By faith Abraham left the Ur of the Chaldees, looked for a city whose builder and ruler is God. By faith, Joshua took off toward Jericho and conquered the walls of the city, and the walls fell down. By faith, Noah built an ark. By faith, Jacob had placed Moses in the ark of bulrushes and put it in the Nile River. Now, so what does it mean? Faith is proving your belief with works. So what is this heel? Now listen carefully. I'm getting the practical part. Some of you right here, right now, you've got bitterness in your heart and it stays there. That's because you didn't use the shield of faith to ward it off. You've got constant fear. You just fear all the time. Why? Because you didn't use the shield of faith to ward it off. You doubt all the time. You don't think you're saved and you doubt the will of God. Then sometimes you doubt the word of God. Why? You didn't use the shield of faith. Okay, now what is the shield of faith? Follow me carefully. When you see a dart coming, go across the Red Sea. That's what God said. That's what faith is. By faith, Moses crossed the Red Sea. When you see a fiery dart coming, go build an ark. When you see by the way, you'll get too busy building that ark, you'll forget that you have doubt. You get too busy building that ark, you'll forget that you have fear. You get so busy building that ark, you'll forget to be discouraged. When you see a fiery dart coming, go offer a sacrifice. When you see a fiery dart coming, go play down some walls. When you see a fiery dart coming, go start a bus route. What it's saying is this: when you see a fiery dart coming, grab the shield of faith. Stop it here. Stop it here. Stop it here. Stop it here. Wield it here. Wield it here. Stop it here. How do you stop it? You stop it by getting busy doing something else to get your mind off your doubt. That's all he said. You get busy doing something for God to prove you believe God can help you. You get your mind on others, you get your mind off yourself. Now follow me carefully. Whenever we have a fiery dart that hits us, or a dart that hits us, we want somebody to do something for us. But that's not the shield. The shield that keeps the dart away is our doing something for somebody else. See that couple sitting back there this morning? They're working with the sailors this morning. Last Sunday morning, their son was back there. I bet you went to the ball game yesterday, didn't you? They went 3 games yesterday. What are they doing? They're doing something. They believe this book. They believe in the God of this book. They believe in heaven. They didn't lay home in bed and sit there and nurse their wounds. They got that shield of faith and said, let's work with the sailors. Let's do today what our son did last Sunday. They took that shield of faith and they wore it off. Now, don't misunderstand me. They cried and had the dart hit them, but the fiery dart never got to them. They may have had some immediate doubts. Why did this happen? But I guarantee you, by now, they don't have those doubts. They know all things work together for good to those that love God. I guarantee you, sometime between the time you heard the news and right now, at least briefly, a little doubt flew through your mind. A little air of doubt pierced you, but you grabbed that one and threw it away, and you saw the fiery dart coming and said, keep on doubting God. Just give up. And you grabbed the shield of faith and said, let's go work with the sailors tomorrow. And that shield of faith stopped the fiery dart. Morning in this service, my friend Dennis Kutkowski is here. His father went to heaven since last Wednesday night. He lies in state today. But I wasn't surprised. Opened my door this morning and see Dennis there. He's one of the fellows that walks down the alley with me every week. He didn't stay home and nurse his wounds this morning and let a fiery dart hit him. He grabbed that shield of faith. Now, wait a minute. I know something about him. I know something about his dad. I know how he could have had some doubt, and probably did. And the doubt maybe came quickly, and that hurt for a while. But he saw a fiery dart coming, and he said, the thing I'm going to do, I'm going to be at my post this Sunday. I'll do my job. That's what you do. Folks, the way you keep the fiery darts out, you stay busy doing something for somebody else. You stay busy doing what you're supposed to do. You stay at the post of duty. Look, good night. I'm probably as happy as anybody in this room this morning, but I'll guarantee you one thing. I could get sad within 2 hours if I didn't quench those fiery darts. Every once in a while, a dart will hit me and say, boy, you've been preaching 40 years or 42 years, pastoring 40 years. And you've given your life to this work. Now, why did this happen? And why did that happen? And all of a sudden, I feel that dart, and I grab the shield of the fiery dart and say, I'll not let the pain linger. I'll not let the doubt linger. I'll not let the discouragement linger. I'll not let the fear linger. I'll grab that shield. I'll do something for somebody else. And I hold the shield up, and the fiery dart never gets coming. Keep the fiery dart away. You don't do it by nursing your wounds. You do it by nursing somebody else's wounds. But every time we get wounded, we want folks to do something for us. And we even get mad if folks don't do something for us. Yeah, okay. Let's suppose yesterday afternoon somebody had gone by to see the concert. To encourage them. Wouldn't that have been wonderful? But they wouldn't have found him at home. Because they were out encouraging somebody. Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, that's what the shield of faith is. That's the way you do it. Illustration. A lady has burdens. But she hasn't got time to have burdens. She's got babies. Well, they're the burdens. But here's the lady. Has heartaches. She has burdens. What keeps her going? I know what keeps her going. She stays busy caring for the children. And that the very caring for the children is the shield that keeps those discouragements from getting to her. So now she may some night she'll be lying in bed some night, and all of a sudden an arrow pierces her, or a dart pierces her, and she may say, "Oh, I've got too many troubles and this kid." And all of a sudden she hears a cry from the nursery, from the baby's bed, and she smells what's wrong. I mean, she hears the cry and knows what's wrong. And she rushes in there. Now, what is it? What is it? That cry of that baby is a shield that wheels off the fiery dart. Why? She's busy. She's got washing to do. She's got diapers to change. She's got diapers to wash. Well, they don't wash diapers anymore, do they? See? She's got a house to clean. She's got meals to cook. She's got, I don't know what they do, but all that stuff she's got to do. She's got stuff to do, like watching the TV and the soap operas, and she's got to, but, now wait a minute. So all the time, now hear me now, follow me. All the time, she's got burdens, but they're not burning. So she's got the fire of God blocked. By faith, she rears the children. By faith, she cleans the children. By faith, she cleans the house. By faith, she washes the dishes. By faith, she cooks the meals. By faith, she washes the clothes. By faith, she irons the clothes. By faith, I'm getting tired just talking about it all. She vacuums the rug. By faith! And what happens? Kids go up. Wait a minute. Here. I'm going to tell you what I think the midlife crisis is. Midlife crisis, in my opinion, is nothing more than a lady getting to the place where she doesn't have the shield anymore to keep her mind off of burden. And the children are gone. She has nothing to do. Not like what she used to. She has no diapers to wash. She has no little baby clothes to wash and iron. She has no boys. Pants that are filthy with mud and the stain of grass from playing ball in the field. And all of a sudden she has no dirty fingerprints on the towels and no hubcaps on the walls in the boys' room. And all of a sudden all those things and the shield is taken away. And now then the fiery darts get hit her. What's she going to do? And get herself a bus route or a good Sunday school class or join her soul winning group and get busy with the shield of faith to block the fiery darts. You don't have to stay sad. You don't have to stay fearful. You don't have to stay doubtful. You don't have to stay discouraged. Grab something to do. That's what they did by faith. By faith, Moses crossed the Red Sea. Didn't say by faith, Moses sat on a park bench on the other side of the Red Sea and said, "But I can go through that." He went through it. Didn't say by faith, Abraham went down and bought a canoe and two oars. I mean, Noah. Who built the ark? Timothy, wasn't it? By faith. What is faith? Faith is acting on your belief. And that's why we ladies go to the doctor for the midlife crisis. And don't, I've never been through the ladies' midlife crisis. Or the men. You know why? I had to shield faith. Too busy to have it. Now, ladies, I've never had my face like this. 50 ladies here are sweating right now, getting mad at me. Don't get mad at me, because I can help you. I'm not saying that the menopause is fictitious. I'm saying that there's a shield of faith that can keep you from keeping those doubts and keeping those fears. Get up and get busy. Do something. You see, you had the same burden when your kids were growing up, but you didn't have time to look at them because you had a shield protecting you from the burden and from the fire of God. They were prisoners. Oh, y'all, that one in a hurry, I'm in trouble. A man has burden. What keeps him going? What keeps him going? Providing for his family. Going to work in the morning, working hard, coming home, providing, paying the bills, keeping his mind busy, his body busy. What is that work? It's a shield caused by his faith put into action, and that is a shield from discouragement. He hasn't got time to get discouraged. Somebody asked me, I said, "Brother Howe, don't you ever get discouraged?" I said, "I had it planned, but I haven't had time to work it in my schedule yet." Now, there are arrows that come, or darts that come, and they pierce me, and it hurts for a while. But there are no fiery darts ever get to me. Because I got a shield, I say, "Baby, what happened?" The man retires. Then what happened? You know what happened. Many, many times, a fellow who retires ought to just change jobs. He shouldn't quit jobs. A fellow who retires shouldn't stop work. He ought to change his work. You ladies can take care of this. Put in the work washing the dishes and ironing and cooking and cleaning the house. And I'm trying to get you ladies that age back in a good mood with me after what I said to you a while ago. What happens to a fellow? He retires. What is it? His shield is taken away. He has heartache. This morning have heartache, but they don't have time to think about them because they have a shield. And all of a sudden that shield is taken away. That's why suddenly you have nothing to protect you from the fiery darts. And that's why you burn and keep on hurting and keep on. And finally it'll destroy you. The illustration. Lady has burden. What keeps her from dying? The fact that she serves her husband. She loves him. Size is 40. Be good to him. And all of a sudden, he's taken. He's dead. You find him dead beside him dead. Or the word comes, he's had a wreck, a car accident, been killed. Or he lingers in a hospital with cancer and is taken from you. And all of a sudden, look, those fears you have are already there. You just had a shield beforehand to keep you, keep the darts from getting to you. The darts got to you. You had occasional doubt and occasional fear and occasional discouragement. But now your husband is taken away. Yeah, your purpose for living is taken away. The occupation of your life is taken away in many cases. And what you do is you sit there and lament the fact that he's gone. Grabbed you a shield. Get busy. Live for. Listen, there are enough blind people, enough hungry people, enough cold people, enough discouraged people, enough poor people, enough deaf people, enough heartbroken people. Keep all of us busy. Grab shields. They're all around here. Grab yourself a shield. Don't let that fiery dart get to you. That's the great secret of life. Quick. Grab a shield. And as you see the dark coming, you see the music coming. When I first get that little, first little dart hit me. See, the fiery dart never comes first. The devil doesn't waste his fire dart on you. He can get you with a dart. So the first thing that comes is that first little dart. It hits you. And then that's the warning, a fire dart on the way. So get up. Get to work. Build a wall around the city of Jericho, or pay one down, or build an ark, or cross the Red Sea, or leave here the Chaldees. Do something for others. Do something for God. Get busy before the fire dart hits. And once the fire dart hits, that's fear that fades. That's doubt that fades. That's discouragement that fades. This morning, this building is literally filled with people who have burdens and heartaches. And you could get hit by a fiery dart that will cause you to totally have a wrecked life. And what you've got to do is get the shield and hold that shield up. I'm thinking about it later right now. I'll go for it. Many, many years ago here in this church, I didn't know anybody well in those days. 26 years ago, I guess, 25. Her husband died suddenly, just like that. Now look, when I die, I want you to cry a little bit. Don't you dare come by and look at my body in the casket with a dry eye. I'll reach up and slap the pie out of you. But I don't want anybody to stop serving God. And I don't want anybody going back home and whining to wreck your whole life. Well, there are a few of you I'd like to. But anyway, no, I wouldn't want that. And neither does your husband up in heaven want that either. And neither your children want that who moved away. You've heard them say, Mama, stay busy. Get involved. That's exactly what I'm saying. But don't get involved with people doing things for you. You get involved with people doing things for people. That's what the shield is. It's the shield of faith. And faith is building an ark, crossing the Red Sea. This morning I'm talking to people who have been hit with a fiery dart. That doubt still lingers and lingers and lingers and lingers. And pretty soon they become bitterness. That dart of hatred has been shot at you. And then the devil shot the fiery dart of hatred. And it's there. And the hate for a minute was the dart. But now you hate. And you hate. And you hate. And you hate. Get up, yourself. Get busy doing good. Overcome evil with good. You don't have to. You can't help Billy son used to fear a white woody one. You can't help a bird from landing on your head. It may do it every once in a while, but you can dead sure keep that bird from building a nest up there. You're discouraged this morning. The fiery dart is hitting you, and that discouragement lingers and lingers and lingers. Get busy. Pick up the shield of faith and get busy. Father, bless the message. I want to.